Oh my god, no.
Oh my god, no!
Yeah.
No! Did you hear the best part though? He said he's not the only penis man.
Florida man arrested for pulling gun on escort. She was touching everything in my house but my dick.
Hi, welcome to this week's episode of Slightly Informed. We are a podcast dedicated to news, politics, and everything else terrible in our culture. I am here bringing you the episode. My name is Nick, here with the regulars, John and McLean. And, unfortunately, it's the same three hosts again. Sorry to disappoint, folks.
Actually, we'll have a guest star.
Yeah, no worries. We'll bring you some variety.
We're shooting
at some point
to make the first one Tom Hanks, and it's been a little more difficult than we planned.
The red tape is unbelievable.
You can't just text a guy like that. That's ridiculous.
He's a little bummed out about his latest that movie he made,
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
The wrong guy.
Well, this week we have a bit of a different episode for you. We are bringing you our first movie review.
Yeah.
Culture review here. We have a movie to talk about as well as just a general leading on pop culture. We're going to have our second endowment of the slightly
Improvised. I think we should just be honest with the people, too, that this is a filler episode. We're pre-recording for a week. We don't want to record the show, so.
For posterity, yeah, this was recorded on March 1st. You will be listening to this probably sometime at the end of March.
Yeah, or at some point we just didn't want to record a show that week. So,
we decided to upload this one.
You know, but though, we're putting this in the Disney vault, and a lot of times you don't get to see what's in the Disney vault.
We're more generous than that.
Yeah, so this will come out of the vault at some point.
So, yeah. We've got a movie review. We've got another installment of slightly... wow, I lost it again. Slightly...
Take a guess, Nick. I'm going to let you die on this
my
hill.
My brain is...
Let's let Nick die on this hill. Take a guess. What's it called?
Slightly Improvised.
There you go.
I made it. My brain was missing the gears a couple times there. You can smell right? the like burning engine sound there.
There isn't rubber in an engine, John.
You haven't driven my Tesla, guys.
Your Tesla?
Clearly, you don't know shit about modern engines.
Yeah, my Tesla lawnmower actually starts to smell like burnt rubber pretty quickly.
True.
But, yeah, after we do our movie review, we have a few stories, like always, as well as a second installment of our game. But first, I've got something to read to you folks. Just a bit of non-political news. We're gonna stay out of the politics this episode. Nothing but fun and good vibes here. So with these good vibes, I'm gonna read this story. Woman with bullet in her head given Band-Aid released from hospital.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Where was this at?
This was in Japan.
That fucking sucks, bud.
Oh, wait, no, there was a similar story that led me to this one. I guess this one was in America, not surprised.
I was just going to say, that sounds like American healthcare.
Please, please tell me this was in Florida.
This was in Florida.
Oh, shit!
A Miami woman counted herself lucky after doctors told her she had suffered a graze wound in a shooting. Only later she discovered she had been walking around with a bullet lodged in her head. Shakina Jefferson, 42, and her wife, Jeanette Medley, were heading to the grocery store when bullets started to fly outside their home. Suffering a head wound, Jefferson was taken to the hospital. She claims the doctor applied some Band-Aids and sent her home with antibiotics.
Guys, this is something that scares me about the medical field. It's just like you could go to three different doctors and get three different answers to the same problem. Like, I'm kind of hopeful for the day and AI is like, this is the answer. I'm right. I've looked at
eight billion
cases.
A bullet in your head.
Yeah.
Well, surgery.
I was going to say, like, I've heard of this a lot with, like, oh, you have stage one, you know, cancer, or you have a non-malignant tumor,
exactly,
or you don't have anything.
Exactly.
And, like, that's
a bad guess.
But whether or not you have a piece of metal shrapnel in your fucking skull, like,
you think they would do, like, an x-ray? Like,
yeah, just one bone density scan.
Yeah.
Just one x-ray, like, yeah.
But that is wild to me about the medical field, is, like, every doctor thinks they're a really good doctor. And someone's got to be the bad doctor.
There's not a 100%.
Statistically, they're not all in the top 10%.
Yeah, like, there has to be someone.
Yeah.
Dr. Nick from
The exactly.
Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, that old joke where it's, like, what do you call a doctor who graduated at the bottom of his class? doctor. You know?
But I think that's it for our little brief intro segment there. We are going to dive into our review. Hey, John.
Yes.
What was the name of the movie you brought to us this week?
I think it was called The Art of Self-Defense, starring that guy
Jesse
who also
Eisenberg.
Plays...
Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Michael Cera's second stage of his Pokemon evolution.
Yeah.
I think it's Michael Cera, Jesse Eisenberg, Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I've seen that one before. But yeah, it was a really good movie. The movie achieved what I think Fight Club was trying to do, which is like show like the absolute insane side of like masculine culture. But Fight Club came out and it was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll be Tyler Durden. That's fucking dope as hell, dog. Yeah.
Everyone knows the guy who
misread ridiculous enough.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't quite ridiculous enough, but this movie punched a little further than that. So, okay,
maybe,
and I think
some might say maybe even with one finger.
Or punched with your foot.
Yeah. Kick with your hands.
Yeah. I think before we go any further, we have to say spoiler warning. I think this movie came out like 6 years ago, but
we'll put this in the description. Spoiler alert.
You should definitely watch it, though.
Yeah, so it's called An Art of Self-Defense. We watched it on Hulu like a week ago. And if you want to watch the movie before we talk about it, feel free.
Pause here. Yeah. Skip to a point I'll probably put in the description with a time where we'll stop talking about the movie.
29 minutes, 30 seconds.
27
minutes,
good
guess.
15
Boom.
Seconds.
I'm going to say 28:45. All right. So we've got a range. We'll see who wins.
Yeah.
But
zero.
4 minutes.
So this movie, it starts you out in a bit of a dark place. It shows Jesse Eisenberg alone.
Michael Cera.
Michael Eisenberg alone. and he is...
he is a lone beta cuck.
Yes.
With a small
the
dog.
The most beta energy you can possibly imagine they've crammed into this person.
Sweet little, like, what is it? What kind of dog was that?
It's a dachshund.
Dachshund.
It's a German dog. He's in
Germany. Oh, great. German shepherd.
Yeah.
No, dachshund, actually.
Yeah.
Basically, the storyline behind this is that Jesse Eisenberg's character is weak and not in control of his life. He's studying French, and here's a French couple in the intro clip basically just destroying him, like
making
trying to create,
him,
making
yeah.
fun of him, making like a fake life story that's just like blowing him out, like just destroying his entire existence. He goes home. It's dark out. He's afraid to walk to the store to get food for his dog. Like, as much of a cuck energy as you can get, and just kind of like...
They overplay it for, like, the bid.
Yeah,
it works
exactly
out really
like,
well because he starts off this way. He goes to the store and he gets mugged on his way home.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes even more scared of the world, which, like, would happen to a character like this. Of,
yeah.
Like, they're already scared of the world. They already feel like they don't have power. And then they get shown they really don't have power and things can be done to them without their permission.
Yeah, and he basically was just walking and hears some people on a motorcycle come up and ask, hey, do you have a gun?
Yeah.
And he said, what? And they just drive off.
Yeah.
That means no. And then, just showed up and beat the absolute shit out of him.
Yeah.
Beat him good.
And he...
I also love the next part of this movie, he does go to try to buy a gun. And, like, they go into, like, some real statistics about gun ownership where they're
like,
just so you know.
You're 600% more likely to die of a gun now that you own one.
Yeah, exactly. Just so you know, like, it's way more likely that an attacker takes your gun and kills you than you successfully kill an attacker. Like, it's like the chance of suicide now that you own a gun is up, like, 70%, just as a heads up. So it's like the gun shop owner telling him all this stuff, but then also trying to encourage him to buy a gun. It's like the weird, like, it's a weird conference, like, bringing together of the culture of, like, the masculine gun energy of, like, fuck yeah, gun.
Yeah.
You could defend yourself, you could kill people, but also
Check
looking at, like...
On with a gun.
Yeah, but then also looking at the statistics, I forgot, doesn't he bring up, like, knives, too, somehow, where he's, like...
I think it was the second time he came back.
Oh, the second time he called him,
Or when he went, when he showed up for the... it was a call.
It was a phone call.
Yeah, he called him and was like, hey, I actually don't think I'll be needing that gun. And he's like, really? I hope you didn't buy a knife.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, a knife will get you killed when going up against a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, no, I didn't buy a knife. And he's like, well... In the meantime, between now and then, I hope you don't get attacked by someone with a gun.
Yeah.
Or even a knife.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like, so he gets put on the. So he wants to buy this gun, walk out with it immediately. He asks for like a shopping bag for his gun, so he doesn't have to just like carry a gun outside. And the guy like kills his vibe and says there's a 3-day waiting period. And in that 3 days, he walks past a karate studio.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's where he goes to learn the art of self-defense.
Sick moves and, you know, discipline.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite bits of the movie was the karate instructors talking about, like, the guy who founded their order and, like their sensei or whatever. And he was like, yeah, he was killed tragically in a hiking accident.
With a gun.
Yeah, by a hunter trying to, like, misidentifying him as a turkey or something.
Guns are messy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's
a wild movie.
I watched it by myself first, and then I had to show it to these guys because it was such a great movie. So the next time we were all together, we watched it. But they didn't seem interested in the first like 20 minutes because it starts on such a slow build that you're like, what the fuck is this movie even about? What's going on? And then it progressively becomes like almost like a psychological thriller where like the sensei of their gym has more and more influence and control in his life. And Jesse Eisenberg is essentially become
Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Jesse Cera
is becoming like the karate guy who has that energy of like, yeah, I can fuck anyone up. Like, karate's my existence, man. Karate's my personality. Like, this is my shit.
So in this movie, after he's joined this class, he's just started, and his like energy and his anger that he's kind of finally found a way to channel and bring out some masculinity in him is like catching the eye of this instructor. Now, this instructor, you know from, like, scene one that you see him, this is an absolutely insane person.
He's a creeper.
He's insane. Fucking crazy. Like, he talks about his what his plans for the next day by doing karate moves with each word if that's, like, some kind
it's
of,
like... when you're a baby, you couldn't learn to speak, and now you're learning karate like you were a baby, and you can eventually speak with your moves.
Ask me a question.
Yeah. He's like, well, what are your plans for this weekend?
I will be going. Going to the Blockbuster to rent a movie and watch in my home. And basically the entire time he's just throwing random karate moves in there.
Yeah.
And you get this vibe from the first scene where he's actually taking the class.
No, the first scene was with the chick. It's like the karate the class for a kid.
Class. Yeah, yeah.
And she's demonstrating a chokehold on a kid. And you think like, oh, she's going to show how to choke someone, right? Mm-hmm. But she puts the kid in a chokehold and chokes him like to sleep.
Tap or nap.
Yeah.
While this is happening, the parents are just sitting on a back wall. Like just natural.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
Oh, little Johnny just got fucked
That's,
up.
I think, the first scene of the movie where you realize like, this is going somewhere. When she just fucking chokes a kid to sleep, then you're like, huh.
Okay.
A normal movie around karate would not have a scene like that.
Didn't see that shit in The Karate Kid.
Yeah. Now this movie starts ramping up after this. You start seeing more and more classes. He's getting better at it. He's feeling some confidence.
Moving up in the belts.
He gets his yellow belt, which is the first belt after white. And he runs into this person who opens his car door into his car and just leaves a dent and just walks past him. And he tries to, like, stand up for himself for the first time in his life and try and stop him. And he says something. He gets scared. He says, I know karate.
Yeah.
He, like, makes him flinch.
Yeah.
He drops all of his groceries.
The guy,
he's like, your arms are
hands.
Full.
Yeah.
I would hit you 3 times before you could even drop him and get your hands up to block me.
And that's when he cries all his way home.
Yeah, he cries in the car.
He realizes that, like, he thought he was badass.
Yeah,
and
he's
badass,
like,
and he's just not at all.
He's like, I'm a yellow belt.
Yeah.
And what gets even better after that is the direction that they go with him starting to, like...
listen to different music.
But
well,
that's
okay, so they also foreshadow day class and night class, where, like, it's, like, literally the basic trope of, like, the daytime is, like, happy and healthy and safe, nighttime's, like, scary and dark and bad things happen.
Yep.
So they start to foreshadow, like, there is a night class for karate, but you probably shouldn't take
it.
Yeah,
his little friend there, he's like, actually, like, you seem more like a day class kind of person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also, that's one of the most brutal moments is the character who tells him that it's a day class.
So when she chokes the kid out, you kind of see it turn as like, this isn't what I expected.
Karate movie.
Yeah, this isn't what I expected. Things are going to get weird. His first time at night class, there's a person attending who was not invited to the night class.
The person who told him, hey, you should.
It's his kind of buddy.
Yeah, it's his first friend. He kind of told him, hey, there's a lot of testosterone around here. People are kind of crazy. I heard I'm going to get this upgrade today or whatever. Yeah. But he shows up because he saw him come to night class, and he's like, a real friend wouldn't tell me he's a day class guy and come to night class. Yeah. And then the instructor tells him to come up in front to use him for a demonstration, where he blows the fuck out of this guy's elbow. Just holds his arm and just like punches the shit out of his elbow, just busting
bending
his bone
the
out the
opposite
front,
way, bending the bone
bleeding,
out the front. Yeah.
And he says, "I can never take that blue belt away from you. You've earned it. So instead, I've taken your arm."
Yeah, and then, like, never come back.
Yeah, I just never see the guy again.
One thing we've skipped over, and it was the best part of the movie that plays a really big role in the end, is the instructor was teaching one of his, it was probably the third class, he was teaching that you need to kick with your fists.
And punch with your hands.
Punch with your feet.
Punch with your feet.
Now, I'm kind of worried. I think this is becoming more of like a SparkNotes version of the whole movie. So, I let's transition. Because I also think we kind of showed you how this movie ramps up. And I think if you're interested in the movie, you should watch it. Because we really, even if like we've had some spoilers, we haven't spoiled like the big things. Which is like, this movie takes fucking wild twists and turns towards the end. I honestly, the first time I was watching it was like, late at night, and it felt kind of like a psychological thriller to me, which like it starts as like a weird, awkward, like indie film drama, and then transitions to like, and somehow walks the line between like drama, comedy, and psychological thriller, like as it gets towards the end. And it was like a really weird thing for a film to take. So I mean, in general, like I think just more of like a review, like how did you guys feel about the movie? Like I know it was rough at the beginning, but
like I mean, we're all sitting here, there's probably 8 people watching this movie, and
I think there's a vibe in the room of, why is John making us watch this dumbass movie?
It was kind of like, John was super pumped about this, let's sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
And it just got one twist, and then it's like, all right, fuck, are we going this way? And then it's like, nope, this way. Yeah. And it was just kept taking us all these different roads, and then the last 30 minutes were just all uphill. Like, it was fucking wild. It takes you up, a super crazy roller coaster.
I was joking with the guys that
a couple scenes just drop you.
It's a 2-hour movie that builds to 2 insane punchlines. everything else is like fun and worth it, but like the whole first half is building to one punchline, and then the second half builds to the second punchline, and that's like the whole course of the movie, and it's worth it and awesome.
I'm gonna give one last kind of note on this too. So like towards the beginning, when he's when the sensei is describing the sensei before him who started the dojo. And describing a few things he did. He describes that the sensei had created the rainbow belt and awarded it to himself after defeating all other senseis in the valley in hand-to-hand combat, is what they say.
I think,
but
don't spoil anything.
You're getting close.
It's a spoiler.
I know,
warning.
But I still think like you could listen to this part and still think the movie's worth it.
And watch it.
And watch the big payoffs.
All right.
Because I don't want to force that. Like, you guys know, when watching the movie, you were like, what the fuck was that? Because it doesn't even, like, really build to a moment. It just happens.
Yeah.
And then you have to think, like, I almost wanted to rewind it the first time I watched it of, like, was there something I just didn't see coming? Like, I had no clue that that's where – I, like, had a vague, rough idea, but I had no clue that that – was gonna build to that, so
I don't know, man.
I honestly thought it was one of the best movies I've seen recently. Like that and like Uncut Gems were two movies where I was just like,
"No,
fuck,
so
this
good.
Is wild."
Yeah,
like,
well, and I think what you said at the beginning is perfect. It encapsulated in a more distilled form what Fight Club was trying to say.
Yeah,
pure masculinity is not the answer to these things, even though it feels good.
It's fun.
It feels good for Jesse Eisenberg to become that guy and start commanding people and to get, a tough guy.
I mean,
we all vaguely know
people who are like, man, you haven't known shit until you tried Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, bro.
Yeah.
That shit's wild and insane. And, that's what this movie's trying to represent, is, like, those people. And then the rest of society is like, I don't know.
It was definitely worth it. So.
No, good watch. Really ramps up. Worth the first hour of the movie being a slow build because the payoff is so worth it.
You have to slow build to something like that.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to that. We
speaking of shout outs, let's
transition it then. We're going into shout outs.
All right. I'll start this off.
Okay.
The article itself isn't something you really want to jump too much into. It's a drug bust, you know. I mean, someone got pulled over or whatever, and they had weed in their bra. All right. Well, you know, that kind of stuff happens, you know.
Kind of stuff happens.
The headline is what makes this so great. Marijuana in bra leads to bigger bust. You get it? Bra, bust.
Because it's a bigger bust.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny. We saw that. Oh, that's good. That's definitely got to be mentioned. So
I really hope that was intentional.
It probably was.
It had to be.
Probably was.
It definitely was. So, all right. Who wants to hit the next shout out?
I should go. I can go next. This shout out is for Garth Brooks fans everywhere.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of them.
Garth Brooks. This last week, or however long ago, was seen on stage in Detroit playing in the Lions Stadium wearing a jersey that says Sanders on it. The number 20. Sanders. Where have I heard that name before? Sanders.
Sanders.
Colonel. We got Bernie Sanders. We got... Oh, Barry. Barry. So he was wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. So, yes, he was wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. And
wasn't it in Detroit?
In Detroit.
Where he played for the Lions?
In the Lions Stadium, wearing a Lions jersey. Like, people really thought that he custom made a Lions jersey to say Sanders 2020.
It's just emblematic of the culture we live in where it's way easier to just jump to anger as fast as humanly possible than think about something for 15 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's absolutely absurd. I wish he was wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey instead of Barry, but you know what?
But you know, at least 50% of the people who got angry are never going to know it was a Barry Sanders jersey.
They're just going to die thinking that is a real thing.
Fucking liberals affected my country music.
They got Garth.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Oh, man. Okay, I'll take the shout out. My shout out goes to Washington State.
Washington.
You guys know how I hate Nestle?
Yes.
this is like a well-known fact in our group.
Yes.
I hate Nestle. They're one of the worst companies. And one of the reasons they're one of the worst is they go into states and territories and countries and essentially just bottle up their publicly owned water supplies and then sell it back to those people, which is an insane business model. Just to be like, hey, you know that water you guys had? We took it. You want to buy it back?
It from us? Yeah.
So Washington State, they had a new law that's banning essentially companies from coming in and bottling their water supply, essentially. And they said that any use of the water for commercial production of bottled water is deemed to be detrimental to the public welfare and public interest. So,
woo!
Yeah, right?
Fire.
I just wanted to, shout out Washington That's State awesome. For being one of the first people to, balls up and say, huh, it's weird you can take our water and just try to sell it back to us. That's a little strange
Wild.
To me. Yeah.
On this same thread, Coca-Cola was recently caught up in something in Australia where I think it's Queensland, the Queensland province, where they were doing the same thing, where they had every bit of water in their entire water table, pretty much, was owned by the Coca-Cola Corporation, where they extracted it during a drought, the water,
they did the same thing to
held
California.
It hostage, and sold it back to companies.
I think it might have
Australia.
Been Nestle, but they did the same thing to California when they were having their insane drought four years ago.
That's just absurd.
Was they already have a drought, but they were still giving private companies access just to straight bootleg that shit and steal it from the people.
Yep.
It's fucking insane.
It's absurd, dude.
Now, back in the day, this isn't something I verified because this was way before my time, but... my mom has told me that water used to just be free. Like it was a public utility. Like your house was connected to the water and they just gave it to you. And so one of my uncles was, offered a chance to be an early investor in bottled water. And he was an investor and he built businesses and he had this opportunity to invest in bottled water. And he told the guy straight up Fuck off, dude. No one's ever going to pay for water. That's insane. You have that shit coming out of your tap. You're telling me you're going to bottle it and sell it to them and they're just going to eat that shit up? That's ridiculous. So that's like the history of how like water has changed, where like in my grandpa's generation, it was just a thing that was provided to you. And now they're like, yeah, we'll take it from you where you would have had it for free, and then we'll just sell it back to you. Great business model.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
The extraction of natural resources has gotten
just to sell it back
point.
To people. Yeah. I vaguely understand somewhat selling like things you mined or stuff like that, because you like actually put effort into it. But just like collect things from a river and put it in a bottle and be like, hey, here's a thing.
Look what we did.
Yeah, right. When we could just like redirect it to your taps and make sure it's clean. Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Yep.
So that's my shout out. Washington State, way to step up.
Dude, that's hopefully other states. That is a baller move. Yeah. That is big dick energy right there.
Super big dick energy. Hopefully other states follow in their path, because that's awesome.
Get fucked, Nestle.
Yeah, get fucked, Nestle.
Fuck you.
Anyone from Nestle wants to come and fight us, do it.
Right? Let's go.
Your biggest employee.
All right, let's do it. Second half.
Cool.
Who's starting us off?
I'll start us off.
Woo. All right.
I saw an article. I don't really know when they did this, but I thought it was fucking badass. Scientists have successfully cured diabetes in mice for the first time, which gives hope to millions of people worldwide.
Cured?
No, they have cured diabetes in mice.
That's insane.
And obviously mice are a little different than humans, but it's
the basis of that is pretty much the same. Yeah.
So, I mean, so far this disease is thought to affect over 400 million people worldwide.
Diabetes.
And has, it's been thought to be diabetes incurable. But researchers at the Washington University School of Science in St. Louis have proved that it is possible to cure diabetes in mice, and it only took them a couple weeks. You know, the research way longer, but it took a couple weeks to cure them. So
that's insane.
Yeah, so I'll read a quick quote. These mice have had very severe diabetes with blood sugar readings more than 500 milligrams. And it would be fatal for a person. And they cured them within a couple weeks. Within 2 weeks, their blood glucose levels had returned to normal and stayed that way for many months.
Wow.
So pretty awesome.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's a crazy breakthrough.
Yeah.
Like, so we're reaching, like, I mean, I think we're probably like 15 or 20 years away from any of these things
coming
to completion.
To look at, yeah.
But like, Cuba is right at the edge of a major. I mean, they've already made the biggest breakthrough we've ever had in AIDS research, and probably the biggest we've made in cancer research as well.
I just think it's every like month you hear an article like this, and like it's good advancement, but I think a lot of times like newspapers oversell it because it's like good for views.
Yeah,
but it's still a breakthrough, and like eventually it will hit people. It's just like, the timeline won't be like next week we're curing it in human beings. It'll be like 10, 15 years from now.
Yeah. Oh.
But that's still super cool.
Cool. Well, I think we should throw this over to John.
Yeah.
Game
time.
Depending on when you guys hear this, this may be a very popular segment, or it may have died.
Sucked.
Yeah, but basically, John has created a 5-gallon bucket full of random topics.
it's not full.
But, okay, it's got
got a couple hundred.
Hundreds
topics.
Of hundreds.
A couple hundreds,
topics.
Yeah. All the presidents, 100 most influential women who have lived and
who have died.
Yeah, and a bunch of different topics. So we're going to throw this one over to John. John has 10 minutes. He has to fill the entire 10 minutes. He drew the card. He had 5 minutes to research, and the rest is John. He has to talk for 10 minutes. We're gonna start a topic. If I'm not gonna start it yet, but if you want to introduce which one,
So I drew two cards. The rule is draw two cards. You can pick between the cards, or you draw a third and final card, and you have to do it. So I picked Theory of Relativity and Trojan Wars. I picked Theory of Relativity. So hit me on that timer, McClain.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm an expert in this topic now.
Good.
All right, 5-minute expert.
I'm ready. Okay, let's go.
10 minutes, go.
Okay, guys. Albert Einstein, right?
Speaking relatively.
Yeah, speaking relatively, Albert Einstein. So have you guys ever noticed when you're talking to, what did he say? When you're talking to a cute girl, time seems to slow down. Or what was it?
Time dilation.
Yeah, okay, okay. I think it's time dilation. So when you're talking to, like, an attractive female and time just seems to go super fast, and you're like, huh, that was a 10-minute conversation. That was wild. That felt like a second. And then when you touch, like, a really hot pan and your hand's on fire and you're like, fuck, 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 that lasted, like, 15 minutes, even though it was, like, the hot fire was, like
30 5 seconds. Maybe,
yeah, and then...
Was it super hot fire?
Yeah, super hot fire.
Super hot fire.
So that's essentially what the theory of relativity is.
It's super hot fire.
It's super hot fire. Okay, so there's a thing called space and a thing called time.
Okay.
And for a lot of time, people thought those were different things.
Oh,
like
wait.
Space made up the material world and everything around us, and time was just a measurement of
operating
that
on its own.
Exactly.
Separately. Okay.
Separately.
Okay.
The breakthrough of the theory of relativity was that space and time are connected in space-time.
Okay.
So space and time are a thing. The other thing I wrote down here is that light is fast.
Is it?
How fast?
Is it?
Thanks for asking that, Nick. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And it's a constant fixed speed, which is important because everything else can be judged relatively to the speed of light. Okay.
This is all relative.
It's all relative.
Yeah.
No, there was a point that they made that there's no absolute frame of reference. So by looking at something and by judging it, you are setting the frame of reference. There's no outside frame of reference to judge anything
by. So it's always subjective to you.
Always subjective to whatever it's related to, whatever it's relative to. Like, cars are fast relative to bunnies. Bunnies are relative fast to snails. You know?
Wow, this guy
it's always compared to something.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm basically an astrophysicist. Come on, guys. Come on. Okay. So, the theory of relativity was essentially a combination of two theories of relativity.
Mm.
Special relativity, which had to do with things in the physical world, things with mass, things with weight, things like that, and general relativity, which had to do with the laws of gravity.
Okay.
So the thing I've been told is that when you're next to a really massive object, and the theory of relativity helps explain things like the black holes we experience, like magnetism.
Just
and
like everyday black holes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the black holes that we can look at through the Hubble.
Now, exactly in what way does this explain?
Because near the event horizon of a black hole, time actually slows down.
Oh.
So because a black hole is so massive.
Do we know how much it slows down?
A lot.
Ah, that's some big scientific numbers.
Yeah, a lot. It slows down a lot. So when you're going into a black hole, if I were to like chuck one of you into a black hole, it would go incredibly slow to you because you're so close to such a massive object that you would be like extended out. Yeah, and spaghettified is what one scientist has called it.
Spaghettified.
Spaghettified, where you're...
That's if you go legs first, you'll get spaghettified.
Yeah, if you go head first, you're going
to... No, if you go, like, sideways in there, you'll just get, like, warped into, like, a rectangle.
Elongated, yeah. So...
Elongated.
Yeah, so if you're next... Like, this has been even tested on, like, a human level where if you're next to, like, the pyramids of Giza, they're really heavy. So time goes slower than if you're, like, in a desert next to nothing that's heavy. Does that make sense? Same with when you're next to a black hole, time goes slower than when you're not next to a black hole.
Wait,
it's all relative.
So, it's so wait. You're saying
you can measure time going slower.
Yes, you can.
Next to objects with mass.
Next to very heavy objects with mass. If you have, like, specialized enough tools, yeah. Like, I can look at my watch and be like...
Shit.
Yeah,
so you're saying the pyramids of Giza being next to you...
Are large enough to slow time.
Yeah.
All right.
100%.
I have not enough information to refute this.
Well, if you think about it, that is something that you've heard about black holes, right?
Well, yeah.
Because it's massive. So, obviously, it's to a smaller degree, but it's not like the rules change when you're next to something less massive.
Interstellar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, it is like interstellar. That was the next point I wanted to bring up, was talking further about time dilation. Time dilates also relative to speed. So, if I hopped in a train going the speed of light and made, like, I traveled for a year in my time speed of light time, to you guys that might be like 80 years. Because I'm going faster.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's true. It's also in the book Ender's Game. I actually think it was true in the book Speaker for the Dead.
So if you're
if I'm traveling near the speed of light, time is actually going slower for me.
We have not achieved light speed in any object, right?
No. This is all theoretical.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is all super theoretical. I think we've achieved like
we've broken percentages, the sound barrier
but
a
also like
times.
Percentages of light speed. Also like the speed at which like the International Space Station travels. Like if me and you were twins and I went on the International Space Station for like a year and I was born like 10 seconds before you, like you're technically now older than me.
Do you know how long they'd have sound?
Because you were farther away. Because
I was going like significantly faster than you. Because you know how like it's traveling at like 40,000 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Like that's not a lot compared to the speed of light. But traveling any speed changes the way time travels.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's time dilation in the theory of relativity. And the theory of relativity is important when you're factoring in things like GPS systems and stuff like that, because things aren't always where they're like where they appear to be, kind of thing. You
or
have
where
to like
we would assume they would.
Yeah,
be,
you have
yeah.
to like weigh in, like the mass and the speed at which like the Earth travels and things like that. So it all has to do like with like very complex calculations that I have no way of knowing.
So you're saying even though it's 11:17 here, and in 5 minutes it'll be 11:22 here. The person who is on the International Space Station will have a different subjective experience of the next 5 minutes.
So that's important, is like subjective experience.
Yeah.
Because like time, like setting a time like a clock is something we've all agreed upon, right?
Yeah.
But as far as like if that person is getting older or younger, faster or slower than you, like that's the time that they are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're experiencing time slower than we are because they're going significantly faster than us.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the weird thing with speed of light is like light always goes the same speed no matter what. Like say we were traveling at 1,000 miles an hour and then I shot a bullet, that bullet would be going 1,000 miles per hour plus the speed at which I shot the bullet, right?
I actually don't think that's true.
I think that's not true.
Say that exact thing one more time.
Okay.
So you're saying you're traveling at 1,000 miles an hour and while you're traveling that fast, you shoot a bullet off of that.
Exactly.
It's traveling.
Shoot a bullet forward. It's going like bullet speed plus the speed I'm going.
That makes sense.
I don't think that's...
Because it has the momentum you're already going.
If you're traveling
60
miles
plus,
an hour in a car and you throw a baseball 60 miles an
in
hour.
In a vacuum. Because that you're talking like wind. Like if you throw a baseball, it's going to go backwards.
I would say the bullet's even the same because at 1,000 miles per hour, there's already a lot of wind resistance.
But I would say, I should have said in a vacuum.
Yes.
In a vacuum.
Okay.
Taking out wind resistance as a factor.
That could be.
I think it's something that, like, it's
I
more applied
that.
To, like, in space. Like, in space is a vacuum without wind resistance. If you're going a
so technically, if you were on the space shuttle, you had a way you could reach out of the top of it, and you're going almost, like, we'll just say 1,000 miles an hour.
Let's say, like, Star Wars.
Up.
Like, you're traveling in whatever.
The Star Destroyer.
Yeah. So, and you're traveling 100,000 miles, and you shoot a laser.
Millennium Falcon. Star Destroyer? That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, so if they shoot a torpedo, it's going the speed of the Millennium Falcon plus the speed of the torpedo they just shot. That torpedo's now going. Versus if they shined a light out from the front of it, it's going 186,000 miles per hour no matter what. That's very important to this theory, is that speed of light is fixed. Because if there wasn't something fixed to judge it off of, you could never compare anything. The fixed unit in the theory of relativity is the speed of light.
Okay. Well,
all right, you got one more minute.
All right. Do you guys have any questions? Do you want to know anything about the speed of light?
Because to me,
I know a lot about this stuff.
This seems like something that they tested on MythBusters that actually disproves what you're saying.
The theory of relativity.
That disproves
the
theory of relativity.
They disprove
the theory
of relativity on MythBusters.
I think it disproves what you just said about if you're traveling. Even let's take away John
said in a vacuum.
In a vacuum.
They did not test that in a vacuum.
I doubt it. They might have, but I doubt it.
They did not.
They didn't. So.
But what they were testing would not have been affected in the absolute insane way that would have to be for it to be in a vacuum. I think something.
It was also in Futurama, if you guys remember correctly. They were traveling in the Futurama mail delivery ship, and they shot Bender out while they were going really fast, and that's how Bender became a god.
Okay, so
it's because they couldn't catch up with Bender.
You have 15 seconds left. Summarize the theory of relativity.
Theory of relativity, everything's relative. Some things are fast that don't feel fast, and some things are slow that don't feel slow. And mass and gravity and light and space and time are all connected.
All right, that's 10 minutes.
I think that's good. I mean, The one thing I would have said as a way to make people understand it is if you're driving in a car, you're going 100 miles an hour, you toss a baseball in your hand straight up and straight back down, and you catch it again. Technically, that ball was also traveling at whatever speed the car was traveling.
That's exactly. What
That's what
I was saying.
Yeah. That's what you're saying.
But you just have to take wind resistance, because if I threw a ball up, it would go backwards because the wind would push against it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. In a vacuum, exactly that.
In a vacuum, yeah, you could throw it up and catch it.
Shout out to Einstein, baby.
Yeah, way to go, Einstein.
That's silly goose.
Yeah, that's silly goose.
And we had the first, like, major confirmation of theory of relativity less than 5 years ago, I believe.
Gravitational waves.
Yes, thank you. Yes, gravitational waves have been able to be mapped, and they have a kind of a grid, a three-dimensional grid, showing you the basically the first observable proof of the theory of relativity.
Cool.
So fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. He was right.
He was right.
He was also a patent clerk. So just think about how many incredibly smart people are toiling away in meaningless jobs because they have to pay for their survival.
And also Einstein described himself as a form of socialist who thought that we needed to endow all people with the ability to achieve the heights that he had.
True. True.
Shout out.
And also fuck the Nazis because... He came over and helped us build an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
So fuck you guys. Jews are real smart. Fuck Nazis.
Fuck Nazis. I think I might call this the Fuck Nazis podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's it. Shout out.
Second episode of our game. Nick's going to go next time. What up?
It's my turn after this. I'm ready.
Yeah. John got fairly lucky here because we don't
fuck
know
you, dude. You got singularity. I wouldn't even have to research singularity. I could ramble about that for 10 minutes.
I'm not saying topic. Easy. Topic, whatever. We'll leave that alone. But we don't know when we're going to release this.
Yeah.
If we ever will.
It's in the Disney vault.
So mine will be released tomorrow.
Guys, we should, like, put this audio file on a USB and
put it in a safe.
No, like send it to Disney and ask them if they can put this in the vault.
They tell us to fucking suck it. They don't actually have a vault.
I like imagine the response from like their PR team would have to be funny.
Oh yeah.
Be like, hey, we recorded this. We don't want anyone to see it for now. Could you mind putting this in the vault for us?
We couldn't just keep it on one of our computers. They'll read it and just be like, what the fuck?
But haven't you seen those people who like apply to be an astronaut by including like a picture of themselves doing a pull-up, and they're like, I think I have a lot to contribute to the space program. Like,
I've seen a couple of those.
Right?
It would at least warrant a response.
Yeah.
There was a guy who did a full application or a full like resume and sent it to NASA.
They're taking applications.
So
we should all apply.
Funny.
They're doing it right now.
Yeah, it's like mid-March. They're taking applications. We should all apply to be astronauts.
I'd be so down.
I think
you have to have a master's degree in
the School of Hard Knocks.
A certain STEM field. It has to be a STEM field, and you have to have a master's degree.
Really? My sociology degree won't get me there?
Right?
Fuck.
Fuck, man. It's not cool.
Damn it. All right, fine.
What if I was really good at flying?
Fine, I'll fucking go to grad school.
I'd be
school.
So
fine.
Good at putting a space helmet on.
Yeah,
right?
You guys don't even know.
Like,
I don't know if my giant balls would fit in that space suit with how much I'm willing to fly outside and do shit to the outside of that spacecraft.
You stipulate that. You're like, you know what? I think it'd be great, but you know what?
I can
talk
long.
About my weaknesses.
Yeah. You know, I'm a honest man at heart. I don't think you guys have a
space suit
with the ball capacity.
I might not be smart. I might not be physically fit, but I got massive balls. Let's go.
So if you guys design one, just like two basketballs up front.
Yeah, yeah. Randy Marsh wheelbarrow.
We figure that out. Maybe a space wheelbarrow.
Oh,
so,
all right, Nick, let's hear it.
I think it's my turn. And last week, I guess a week ago from when we're recording this.
At some point.
At some point in the discography of Slightly Informed. McLean did a segment called Florida Man.
Yeah.
Now, Florida Man's a great segment. Florida has some of the best stories in the world.
Don't you ever say it isn't.
And those
Do you know
are,
why?
Why is this?
Okay, so Florida has a thing. I think they're called the Sunshine Laws, where, like, all arrest records, all of that is public, like public information.
Public domain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like most other states, that's like private until you get convicted and stuff like that. Anything that happens in Florida. Yeah. So that's how the Florida.
Whatever the police report says, yeah, it's going on the news.
Going on the record. Yeah. So they get like, Florida man beats the shit out of 19 cops while tripping balls on LSD and meth. Like, it's always Florida man because they have those laws. Like, I'm sure it happens
that's
in Montana, too.
Yeah. That's a combo.
I'm sure it's
better
happened.
Than any other
the
combo.
The greatest Florida man of all time, I think, was not a man. It was a goat. Or, no, not a goat. It was a pig who drank, what was it, 18 beers and then fought a pig? Or fought a cow. Fought a cow. It was a pig, Florida. Drank 18, raided a campfire, stole 18 beers,
we'll
drank
them. We'll do a slightly educational about how much animals like to get boozed up, because that's actually like a real
fun one. That's a fun one.
Yeah. There was like a moose in Alaska who would get drunk and just fuck shit up around town.
So I've heard great. Stories. Yeah. I won't say who told me this story, but I heard a story once of, this was also in the 70s, but they...
Dating yourself, McLean.
What?
You're dating yourself.
Yeah. This was in the 70s.
Back in my day.
Back in my day. No, they entered a drinking contest, and the contest rules didn't stipulate if you had to be human, so they took a cow. And the cow beat everyone, and they won.
Oh,
they won
God.
Like $1,000. It was like this big
Fuck.
Thing. Yeah.
I'm sorry. As someone who loves loopholes,
I love loopholes. That's my favorite.
The fact
shit.
That someone found that loophole yeah. makes
they just,
me.
They just fed like yeah. 30 beers
a little
to a
upset.
Cow, yeah. And the cow was like not even phased, I guess. Like the cow
like
was like
800
like,
pound cow.
Maybe stumbling a bit, but they like everyone else just like. Pass the fuck out drinking that many beers, yeah. But the cow was fine and they won $1,000. They all went drinking.
All right, continue us, Nick. Sorry
so,
for the interruption.
No, I decided
that was a contribution. Yeah, that wasn't an interruption.
We interrupted in a positive manner.
It was constructive.
Yeah,
but
constructive interruption.
I think
interruption.
That was dumb.
I would say that Florida man is the yang in Chinese culture, and I think that the yin,
Andrew.
The yin is also has its own downsides.
Yeah.
Because I think the two most far ends of the spectrum of depraved to pious goes mm-hmm. from a scale of Florida to Utah.
I can agree with that.
So on Florida on one end, you got the depravity, you got the spring break, you got the people tweaking out and doing crazy shit all over the news.
Shit ton of old people.
And just a shit ton of old people to be the victims of these Florida man news stories. The other end is Utah, where the people themselves maybe not have quite as impressive of feats as the Florida man itself. But it's made up for by the police officers, the state government,
the legislature,
yeah. the governor, yeah. teachers, principals, your
the
mayor,
powerful religious lobby.
Yeah, yeah, like the million things yeah. that Utah has shit going on crazy on. So this one is called Behind the Zion Curtain, mm-hmm. and for those not in the Western United States that don't understand that reference, essentially the Zion Curtain is the idea that we live under completely different laws when you're in Utah, behind the curtain of protection by the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in this episode of Behind the Zion Curtain, I'm going to run you through a couple stories real quick, starting out with a cyclist claims Utah officer mistook a wave for middle finger and hit him with his car.
What?
So, yeah, yeah.
What? You can't even do that if it wasn't middle finger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Supreme Court ruled you can flip them off.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
you
yeah.
can flip them off, you can cuss them out, you can
yeah,
do,
you can
the
do
fuck
whatever
you want.
You want. Yeah, yeah.
Freedom
there's...
of speech, bitch. 1A. 1A.
So, according to the lawsuit, the guy named Chad, unfortunately... Chad,
righteous Chad.
Chad switched from the south side of Evergreen to the north side with the intent of riding through the green light ahead of him at 2300 East. And riding on a bike path on the north side of the road, Chad rode through a crosswalk area for pedestrians, proceeded through the intersection safely. The unified police stopped him at what appeared to be a red light, appearing to be waiting for Chad to cross and waved at him. The lawsuit states that Lockwood, the biker, waved back, but because of a prior accident that left him with a deformed hand, Lockwood contends the officer mistook his wave for an obscene gesture.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Why would you wave back, though? If someone's waving you through an intersection and you're just like, hey, how's it going,
how
officer?
Doing?
Yeah, that's over.
So, yeah.
That's Utah.
You reap what you sow. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, man.
Next story.
I guess that's true, because the thanks is usually just a hand up.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you, like, had a fucked
real
up hand
quickly,
or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That could be. Utah cops may soon face discipline for sexting and masturbation on duty.
May soon face?
Soon. Soon. They don't already face it. They may soon face.
What you
discipline.
Doing over there, Terry? Just jerking it.
You guys remember Super Troopers? When he's looking at the billboard with the girl and he's like radar gunning him jerking off. That happened in Utah.
Oh, God.
All right. Another good one. Utah woman pleads guilty to lewdness for being topless in her own home.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
With, like, the windows open and someone saw her? Like, what's this story?
Even if it was.
I'd still fight that in court.
Like,
I definitely would. I mean,
it's
even
my
if you're
property.
On your own property,
yeah.
You can walk around in your
backyard.
Okay,
but what if you were
naked?
Just, like front of your house, like, front bay windows, you're
just
standing there,
just
like.
Just standing there,
like,
hanging dong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, just waving to your neighbors, like.
Technically, I still would fight that. I really would. I mean, you're in your own.
I would too. I would never press, like, I would
it
never
makes
call
sense.
The cops.
I, that,
be like,
the reason I asked
hey,
that question is just for some more insight. But
I saw my neighbor Steve's dick. Can we guys come arrest him? Oh, man. It had to be a woman who reported her.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For it sure. I can guarantee. Oh, my God. There's, like, no
some
way.
Some guy calls the cops. I saw some daddy.
Yeah.
I don't know, it is Utah.
It is Utah. It could be a
that's
guy.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be. Oh, that's so depressing to think about.
Now, this one's a double-decker here. This one's got. Ooh. This one hits you twice. So okay. I'm going to read it in
I'm
two
ready.
Parts. Utah Senate rejects anti-masturbation amendment.
Okay.
To oppose or to proposed abortion ban.
What?
So this was
so
an amendment.
How are
the
those
idea.
Ideas connected?
Yeah.
This was an amendment.
Yeah, yeah.
And they slapped on an anti... Oh, my God.
My amendment, what it does is to make sure that men play a part and are accountable for their actions as well.
Is this argument we shouldn't ban jerking it because then they might not want to do it?
No,
like, I don't...
The argument
is so
that we
Utah
should ban,
saying that
we
only
should ban
men
jerking
masturbate. This
because
is so Utah.
I thought it said opposed male masturbation law.
No, Utah Senate rejects the anti... So, I mean, it got rejected, but someone proposed an anti-masturbation amendment
and cited
to a bill that was being passed to ban abortion. Because basically, a feminist saw the banning of abortion going on and decided
oh,
that
to
the
amend it, that
the benefit,
if you can do
yeah,
this
yeah,
to
was,
amend
yeah, yeah.
the women's bodies, we can tell you you're not allowed to jerk it. Yeah,
exactly. That was her thing. Was like
that's smart.
Yeah. What if I tie the idea of abortion to the idea of masturbation?
The idea of jerking it.
So yeah, that's one more, and I saved
the best for last.
The best for last.
Oh, God, I don't even want to hear it.
It's funny.
Utah screws with me.
Sex outside of marriage may soon be legal in Utah.
No.
It was illegal?
It's still legal right now. It's on the state
oh
record
my
books.
God.
The law is called...
Oh, God.
It's a misdemeanor crime called fornication.
Damn.
Yeah.
How many misdemeanors do you have to make it a felony? Like, might be a felon in Utah.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
God.
And wait. There were some really good quotes on this as well. So I do want to go over this one real quick as well.
Oh, shit. I've been in Utah and had sex in Utah. So I have screwed
it. Fornicated out of that sanctity of marriage.
I'm expecting my arrest warrant very soon.
Yeah, it's coming.
But what is legally...
Like, would you be arrested for, like, intention to fornicate? Like, if you went up to a cop and was like, I'm gonna fuck my girlfriend, officer. Like, I gotta...
Intent to distribute.
You mad? You pissed, dog? You pissed? Oh, God.
So this is the quote from State Representative Kevin Stratton, Republican from Utah. He says, what is legally is often far below what is morally right. And then he said, and I recognize our laws are not...
the exact opposite.
And I recognize our laws are not strong enough to rule an immoral people.
Oh, my God.
So basically he was admitting that the law would get nothing done. He was like, yeah, cops cannot do anything to do that. But he's like, but it's because they're immoral and will never be moral.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's wild.
So yeah, shout out to my home state, home away from home. This segment made me a little homesick, you know. I miss being seen as the most depraved lunatic, sex fiend.
I mean, it's not like that's a great drug thing about addict, Utah, you know, like alcohol. Sex is already a high. But yeah, when you have sex, you're like, I'm breaking the law, too. And you're just like, oh, yes. Yeah. Such a high.
Do it even harder.
It's like we're in Colorado.
Tell me I'm a bad boy.
Weed use for teenagers went down after they legalized it. Because it's not even fucking cool
anymore,
fun,
man.
This isn't even cool. Let's do some cocaine and spray paint someone's fucking business, dude. Yeah.
Oh, God. Do we have
teen pregnancy?
We have
rate
a chaser
drops
this week, right, Nick?
I believe we do. Oh, shit. Was it the thing you were going to send me?
Did I not send it?
Let
I thought
check.
I did.
It's in the circle.
Oh, we do have it. Oh, you're right. I'm going to cut all that out. So, this week's Chaser is brought to you by Reddit.com, as usual.
.com.
And let's get it going. Yeah, this one is just, you know, total nonsense.
Give it backstory if you're just listening. This is just a dude standing out. Someone's like sitting passenger, and he's got the door open. He's just standing outside.
He's an Asian man.
Giving an impression.
Holding his eyes further wide open to give an American impression.
Hey, Bobby, look, I'm American.
I think I'll use my credit card. Do you guys have anything non-dairy? Anything gluten-free?
I think I'll use my credit card.
You guys have anything non-dairy?
That's actually like a pretty good impression.
That is really good.
It's not stupid. Is using a credit card like super American? Like,
I have no idea. I haven't traveled enough globally. I thought it was pretty well used.
Like
everywhere.
Everything else he said, like, yeah, okay, I can get on board with that. But like, I'm gonna use my credit card. Don't
yeah.
Most people use credit cards?
Right.
I don't know.
Who knows?
But cool, guys. Well, I think
guys.
That wraps it up.
Hit us up.
Check us out. Spotify, Apple, Google, YouTube, Twitter.
I'm on Twitter now.
John Arterburn on
at
Twitter.
John Arterburn. Hit
at
me up.
@SI_podcasts. @APubDivided.
Yeah, I haven't used that one yet, but I will.
You want to shout out yours, McLean?
Not really.
At McLean Autry.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Oh my God, no.
Oh my God, no!
Yeah.
No! Did you hear the best part, though? He said he's not the only penis man.
Florida man arrested for pulling gun on escort. She was touching everything in my house but my dick.